And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, IA, from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Oh, today we're going to have a special going around the world day. Okay, let me tell you what's going on. Over a year ago, year and a half, that's a while ago. I thought it was not that long ago. I know it was in this studio. We had, I'm going to make sure I get these names right. Yasik Spendel. Am I close? Okay, we turn off the microphones here. Okay, Yasik Spendel.
Good morning.
Good morning, Yasik. Then we have David and Jakob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah. Okay. So what we're doing is we're going to go ahead and try and keep most of the microphones. We don't have too much echo here. Now, this is what's going on. The first hour we had, I apologize, John Bush. Donna didn't know to wake me up. I thought she knew it was yesterday and today I was going to cover for his show. I apologize, John and Ian. Ian called and said, yeah, what's up? And I go, yeah, what's up? Well, Donna said, well, you didn't tell me what was up. And I thought I did. So anyway, so I apologize. You know, he had to fill in for that. Well, what we're going to go ahead and do during the Declare Your Independence show is there were, I guess, for lack of a better term, so you understand, it's kind of a foreign exchange student thing. But they're interned for the Goldwater Institute here last summer or summer before. And it was, you know, a very interesting time. You know, they were going into the 12 election cycles kind of going on. They had, they're learning American politics, but they have been very involved in Poland. And in Poland, the revolution made it there, too, to where they had the polls for Ron Paul. I mean, you know, so Ron Paul for Poland, I mean, it's all about libertarianism and freedom and such. Now, Language of Liberty, Glenn Kripe, is a friend of ours that he felt that he owed something back to the mother country, that his parents were from Eastern Europe and his grandparents. And he just like, you know, the best thing I can do for them, you know, I got some time, you know, retiring, got a little bit of money and something to do, is let's go ahead and teach them about libertarianism. So he did. And what's amazing to me is how many people, you know, if you speak, three languages, you're intercontinental kind of guy. You know, if you speak two languages, you're pretty much anybody that got educated in Europe. And if you only speak one language, you're American. Okay. Because, I mean, you know, we're dumb. But over there, their second language is English. So when we translate, you know, Freedom's Phoenix into 39 languages, well, to them, they're going, you know, it's... You know, it doesn't translate that well. We'd rather read it in English. And I'm going, ew. So a lot of them, they can study and understand a lot of anyone that's, you know, in their 20s and so on. They have taken English generally as a second language. So they can read our historical documents in the original text. They understand the words. They've been able to translate us to them, to their countrymen. So in Poland... And in, you know, with an interesting history, you know, the Polish people have a little bit more awareness from us of what's going on there because of when the communist regime fell and you have Lech Walesa and the labor movement and the youth coming up and them seeing who does what and where and how and why. And we're going to find out what's going on now because they're inspired by their trips here to America and went back and started doing various different things, co-sponsored by some of the freedom organizations here. And Jakob has just been, Jacek has been, busy. And he's going to tell us all about it, starting in the next segment. Now, this is what we're going to do today. All 3 hours, we're going to have these three gentlemen here. Now, varying degrees of proficiency in English, and my Polish is really rusty. So what we're going to do is go ahead and have them tell their story from their perspective. We have plenty of time. We're going to do all 3 hours, but I got a gazillion questions, and we'll get caught up on what happened, since the last time that we spoke. And, Jacek has come back to America, brought some friends, and he's, wanted to share. Now, the last time they were here, we got to hang out a little bit. We taped a show in the evening. We just, I don't think they were available in the morning, but they had a friend, a beautiful young girl that was visiting the U.S. and said, "Hey, man, I'm going to come down to Arizona and look at the pretty rocks." So she came out here and visited, had an opportunity to take her shooting, and they are so jealous. They're like, "Oh, hell no. She got to go shooting, put her picture of her holding a fowl or something up on her Facebook, and went stupid by the time she got home." So I'm going, okay. So they want to get in trouble, too. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. So I said, I told them, ammo, this Obama thing, guess what? Buying guns hard enough, ammo's even harder. I go, I have these calibers. You buy whatever you want to shoot in this, and not a problem. We'll go out and do it. But you buy the ammunition. Maybe they got some. Maybe they didn't. We'll ask them about that, too. And I'm going, it's a little hard. I thought that'd be a good little lesson for them in the land of the free and home of the brave, if they can go buy ammunition or not. So we'll find out. The other thing is that we want to find out their perspective of American politics here. And at the Goldwater Institute, they're probably not going to say anything bad, and if there needs to be something said, I will. But, I just don't pay attention to all this politic and stuff. It's cultural. And I'm wondering, that's really the only question I have with their interest in doing different institutions, working with different groups and Campaign for Liberty and Students for Liberty and Young Americans for Liberty and this, liberty, 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 liberty. You can't swing a dead cat without, hitting somebody telling you how libertarian they are nowadays, okay? And then you ask them three questions. What are they? I don't know, but in three questions I can find out. So this is what we're going to do. When we come back, I'm going to go ahead and introduce you to each one of the individuals and kind of let them tell their story. We're going to go ahead and take the rest of the show and just get to know each other, get to know Poland, get to know Europe, get to know what's happening. And I tell you, it's a generation thing. It's not an organization thing. It's not an individual thing. It's not anything. It's thing. It always comes down to individual, but it's a movement thing. And it's infecting the planet. This is my point. So when we come back, we're going to go ahead and introduce you to each one of these individuals and tell you what projects they're working on. And then we kind of, let them know kind of the stuff that we're working on, get their comment, because a lot of things have been tried. This is the politics in Poland. Is it isolated? Is it just what Poland does? Or is it what the European countries do around them have an impact? Do they want to stay, in this big, giant European continent collective thing? Are they advocating to get out? Or do they think it even matters? How's the finances there? What's the job market like? How are the Polish youth doing economically? What kind of future do they have? What are they looking forward to? What kind of attitude do they have towards their military? Do they feel a threat from somewhere? And who's threatened? Is it, the European continent? Is it the Islamo-fascist going to get them? Is there going to be a war with Iran? And how does that affect them and Israel and the United States? And what language is going to prevail? All of these questions, do you know? Well, they know more than you, so we may share with them a little bit and inspire them to do the projects like what they're doing in Poland right now. So, of course, we'll have Jacek tell us all about that. Now, this is an important window into what's happening from Poland. They were all the rage and all the news in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. Poland, Poland, Poland. Europe, Europe, Europe. The youth. Because the revolution is worldwide. And we're going to demonstrate it when we come back. Start off with Jacek, David, and Jakob. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Derek J. To me, an activist's calling is to actively work to advance a cause. The cause for which I work is personal freedom. I believe my life is best when I engage in voluntary interactions and self-government. I reject the idea that anyone else has a higher claim to my life or my body than I do. I see people who call themselves the government as a threat to my personal freedom. I realize you may feel differently, but my relationship with the people who call themselves the government is completely involuntary. If Starbucks used some of its money to drop bombs, I wouldn't shop there. So why would I support the American Empire? The Empire does not require my consent.
Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. Watch it for free and order the Director's Cut DVD at victimlesscrimespree.com. That's victimlesscrimespree.com.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. And in studio, we got Jacob, David, and Jacek. And what they're... I tell you what I did not know. They told me something to break here, and we'll go ahead and we'll just start off with that, and it'll kind of go from there, I'm sure. Is, you know, Jacek, tell me, in Poland, I didn't know this, during the 12 election cycle for president, excuse me, during that election cycle, Romney went to Europe, okay? He goes to Poland, and he says, yo, what's up? You know, give me some campaign money or something. I don't know why the heck they go there, but, you know, he went, and he was greeted with all kinds of signs that said what? What were the signs that, you know, that Romney was greeted with when he went there?
Hi, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here in studio talking to people from America. Yeah, regarding your question, two gentlemen who came here with me, Jakub and David, they are from Poland for Ron Paul, a big movement of people who did one important action, not only one, but the one we are talking about, I'm going to talk more. It was in the summer 2012, Mitt Romney visited Poland. That was during his trip, like world trip. He visited the UK, Poland and Israel during the trip in order to show up that, oh guys, I did not forget about you, I will stand by you and stuff like that. So he had two big meetings in Poland, in Gdańsk, that's northern Poland, and in the capital, which is Warsaw. So he was not really welcomed very warmly by the people, but...
Why? I mean, what would they know? What would they care? I mean, they're going, Rom, who's that? He looks like a, you know, a mannequin at Macy's or something. I mean, you know, right. What would they care?
Yeah, but Romney is boring. Romney is boring, and Polish people don't like boring guys.
He's so boring, they got out and said, you're boring. You're so boring, I want to tell you how boring you are.
No, so there is a movement, Poland for Ron Paul, and they stand up there, and they showed up with a huge banner, Polish Choice Ron Paul. And
okay, so
lots of transparent, a lot of signs.
Well, how many people were out? I mean, look at some of your pictures. Donna's pulling them off of your Facebook and so on. We'll have them up, you know, a little bit. You know, so this is, Jakub, right? So, Jakub, go ahead and tell me, you know, you had quite a few people there. Why? Where did these people come from?
That people were from whole Poland. You know, Poland for Ron Paul is not a formal movement. It's more informal movement that includes people from many organizations in Poland. For example, in Gdańsk, that event were organized by our friend from Right Wing Congress, and he was the leader of that event in Gdańsk, and we were the leaders of that event in Warsaw. So that movement contains many people from many organizations in Poland, libertarian organizations and conservative libertarian organizations from south of Poland, north of Poland, west, east.
So, see, this is one thing that Dr. Paul would always say, and a lot of the guys didn't know what he meant. They didn't understand it. He'd go, freedom brings people together.
Yeah.
So what you're having, you're going, well, it's not official, as if I like official anything, okay? I'm like, no. It has to be a spontaneous order. It has to be people just come together and they just say, hey, man, you know, we could have what we want, what we desire, what we endorse, what we like, and have it represented by Dr. Paul, what he has to say, the Love Illusion, whatever you want to call it. That is what philosophy we wish to advocate, and you use Romney coming that represents something else, okay, and you use that as an opportunity to say, no, we're for Ron Paul and his philosophy, okay, I understand that, but you say that all of these other groups, you know, came together, people from these different groups, but they didn't really represent each one of those other groups, they just represented themselves, right?
Yeah, right.
So you can see they came from the, you say you're for this kind of freedom thing, but, you know, this really are people around the world in the streets for what? What, Ron Paul's not going to run for something. I mean, you know, what was Ron Paul? Was it him he was going to do something or something he represented?
We support him because he's an icon of freedom and liberty. And as libertarian, I support every libertarian in the world. In every elections and every riot. you understand?
For lack of a better word. Well, tell me your definition of libertarian. You see, I mean, I got a whole bunch of people slinging around libertarian. There's a whole bunch of guys over at the Goldwater Institute saying how libertarian they are. Okay, don't get me going. All right. But the thing is, when you say libertarian, what do you mean by that?
Libertarian, the man that wants to be free and own his own life and is rational and doesn't trust government and doesn't want central government. He wants to govern his own life by himself.
You're so not allowed to think that way. Who told you to think that way? What Polish school taught you to think that way?
None Polish school.
Well, then where'd you learn this?
YouTube and Facebook.
Oh!
And actually some
YouTube and Facebook.
Some books.
Okay.
And some books. Like, my first book was Terry Gutkind books.
What were your first books? I mean, what were the ones that had the biggest influence? See, you're not that old. I mean, how old are you? You're in your 20s somewhere.
Yeah, 23.
23. Youngin', okay? So, but you represent a very powerful, influential portion of Generation Next. And it's around the planet. And I'm telling you, I try and explain to my audience, anyone I talk to around the world, there is a physical, visual representation of people in the streets with signs saying, we don't want more government to fix anything. We got too much government. Get the government out of the way, and it's the sovereignty of the individual. That is very dangerous to the state. And it's also why we get involved in a lot of these youth movements around the world. You know, we do Arabic translations of stuff. We do it in Spanish. We do it, heck, you know, get you guys inspired and go off and save Europe. Be my guest, okay? One less thing I got to do. So the one thing that I want to ask Jacek this, you know, from your perspective, did you know this stuff was going on? Did you know what they were doing? Were you friends with these guys? You know, how did they interface with you?
I think before the Poland for Ron Paul thing, I didn't know them. I I was tracking most of the stuff that is going on in Polish internet, especially regarding the ideas of freedom. And, you know, sooner or later, I found out that there are guys who are fighting for freedom behind the Ron Paul signs, transparency. And I was, like, very, very much impressed. And it was a question of time, really, until we met. Also, my association back in Poland, it's part of the big Poland for Ron Paul movement, so I was so glad to meet them.
When we come back, I'll pick it up there. Poland for Ron Paul, is what? You know, I mean, it means
grassroots.
What?
Grassroots.
To what?
Activists.
Elect Ron Paul president of Poland?
No, to spread the ideas of freedom.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. And we got Jacek and his friends from Poland in the house, David and Jakub. Now, you just got to do the yah a lot. Okay, yah. Now, what we're going to go ahead and do is I wanted to go ahead and let Jacek go ahead and finish his thoughts because, you know, you're telling us about, what you're doing over there and your relationship with these guys, and we'll get into what your experience was when you were here, past, and so on. So we got time. Go ahead and talk about your relationship, a lot of these other activists. You know, like you said, it's just a matter of time. You guys are going to, eventually hook up, but why? What's a common thread? As we had Jakub here, he was saying, we have all these different groups that are starting to permeate political culture in Poland that are kind of the freedom groups. They had a little freedom here, a little freedom here. Might be single issue, kind of be like the equivalent of our, anti-drug war thing or our pro-freedom, less taxes, property rights, daylight, whatever, fill in the blank. But as time goes on, you're going, yeah, it has a common theme. The supremacy of the individual, okay? I own myself. And if you can get something basic fundamental like that and the young people understand it, they show up when there's an opportunity to express that, like when Romney comes to visit and they go, no, we would rather have Ron Paul. That had to be a splinter in the brain of Romney and his friends. Like, this damn Ron Paul thing can't go anywhere. He's freaking everywhere. Well, they probably blame him, and they don't get it. It is a movement thing. Help describe to the audience, what you think is going on, not just in Poland, but everywhere, and what wave is it you're trying to ride, because you're seeing this coming. You're going, oh, yeah, I got something to keep me busy. Go ahead and share your experiences with the audience.
Ernie, I think you basically made a good introduction to the process that is happening not just in the US, not just in Poland, but all over the world. Like, people start to understand that what really matters is not like single issue or like freedom for one thing, but you forget about the freedom for other things. No, they start to understand that these ideas are complex, and the notion of the individual and his rights, inevitable rights, and the notion of laissez-faire, so let people act, is spreading, and this message is getting stronger and stronger. So in Poland, people from different groups, some less conservative, some more conservative, some more interested in education, some more interested in politics, whatever, if they only share that notion of the individual rights and these basic principles of freedom and laissez-faire and government get out of the way, they knew that it's important to unite, and the Romney visit was a perfect time. And my friends who are here, who are behind the Poland for Ron Paul movement, they did amazing things, and they also helped us to unite for that cause. It is a grassroots activism, but it's a hard work, and we succeed. We showed up there, and it was in media globally, also in the United States, like most of all in the United States. So, yeah, as you said, it's about spreading the message. It's not about, like, short-term political goal. I don't know. Probably we don't make it short-term. That's not the first thing we should do. The first thing we should do is spread the message wherever. Through young people at the campuses, through politicians in the Congress, through media.
What kind of impact are you having with the politicians there? They pay
you guys. We don't really have. That's why I said it's good if we would be one day there. But to be honest, that's the most hard base to spread the ideas, because they are kind of blind.
Are you wasting time with them at all? Do you care?
I made a decision myself a couple of years ago that I'm not going to enter politics.
I don't mean as you running, but I mean the politicians in office now. Are they any of them coming out going, yeah, I'm a Ron Paul guy too. Yeah, what you said. Here, give me a sign. I mean, are they, you know, supportive of you, or are they, you just ignore them, or what?
Regarding the mainstream politicians, I mean, the ones who are in the parliament, no one showed an interest for what we do. Of course, there are politicians from the like little party, which is called Conservative Libertarian Party. Moreover, my friend Jakub, who is here, he's starting Polish Libertarian Party. Just Libertarian Party. The name is the same as here. So these guys care. And they try to help, and they try to spread these ideas and also transform these ideas into strictly political goals. And I wish them the best. I mean, that's why I say, let's be everywhere. Let's be in media, let's be in campus, and if possible, yeah, let's be in the ballot as well. If these guys want to start a Libertarian Party, go for it.
Ah, cool. Let's go, so that... David's friends will know that he was really here, okay? You know, David, go ahead and say hi at least.
Hi.
Okay, how good is your English? Are you understand what's going on?
Yes, I understand.
It's just, yeah, but see, that's what women think is cool, man, foreign accents. We'll get you a date by the end of the show. it's another thing.
Keep your word.
Another thing is that Jacek is probably, you know, told it was a big deal about going shooting. Are you going to be shooting with us tomorrow?
Yes.
Are you looking forward to that?
I don't know.
Are you afraid?
Yes.
Have you shot a gun before?
Maybe.
No. Have you shot before? No. Yes.
No.
No, you've never shot a gun before?
No.
This is going to be fun.
It will.
Yeah, it will.
You know, I know something about it. I did this 2011.
Oh, did you? Who took you?
I couldn't go with you because I was busy at work during the day, but I went with Mike Jaskin, our friend from Tempe. We went on the desert and we were shooting on the rocks.
So did you have fun?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, it's like, you know, what was the girl's name? Martha?
Was Martha, yeah.
Yeah, Martha.
Hi, Martha.
Yeah, so Martha, did she tell you about when we went shooting? Did she like that?
Oh, she loved that. And she, you know, after her visit here in Phoenix, she was spreading this message throughout all the friends, and she really remembers it as the best time in the U.S. You need to remember that Phoenix was not the only place she visited, but she liked it the most.
No, I'm sure she did. She was having a good time. You know, that's another thing. You have a woman shoot an AR-15, you know. Oh, they just get all...
the dangerous one.
Yes. They are very excited about how easy it is. It's not that difficult. It gives them a sense of empowerment. So they get all excited and they want to go do stuff, you know. They're just, you know. So I know what kind of impact it has. And certainly someone that's never been around them. And are guns available in Poland? I mean, can you, you know, own a firearm there, or are they heavily regulated?
Poland is one of the most horrible countries in the world regarding the gun possession. Poland is ranked number 140 something in the world regarding the number of legal guns per 1,000 inhabitants, and we are the last country in Europe in this ranking. It's horrible. There's some process you need to take in order to get the legal gun, but to be honest, if you are mentally healthy and you don't have any bad record and you just want to have the gun to protect your property, the answer from the government is no.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can turn some yeses into there, you know, around the infection of this philosophy, because it's happening everywhere. And this is what, you know, it's not like we got to, you know, stoke it a whole lot more. We just got to survive the conflict. You know, bad guys aren't going to go quietly into that good night. Oh, hell no. And what I'm hoping is that Generation X will survive it worldwide. We'll be right back. We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasing.com.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at weusecoins.com. That's weusecoins.com.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with a chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Lies, break free from the lies. Lie, lie, liar, 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 pants on fire. Well, I tell you, you know, what I always say, you know, the youth hates one thing more than anything else. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, hypocrisy. Don't sit there, you know, whiz on my back and tell me it's raining. You know, I mean, you know, why are you lying to me all the time? You know, once you hear the truth, how do you unlearn the truth? How do you unlearn the truth? How do you unlearn the truth? I mean, you have to have this cognitive dissonance extraordinaire beaten into your head by somebody for something. Look at these pictures. You know, does this technique look familiar to you? You know, well, you think they didn't, you know, they can't, you know, stencil some stuff on some cloth, on sheets, on Tyvek, on, you know, any and everything and show and say hello. Well, let's go ahead and, you know, talk about this a little bit. You know, I want to find out, you know, from, I got to make sure I get this right. Jakub, Polish Libertarian Party, Conservative Libertarian, what the heck is, what? You know, I mean, somebody's got to say you didn't have the right permission slip, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so get in the microphone. Go ahead and explain this to me. If you're going to do this, you're going to run for office, there is, I'm sure, a mechanism, a law, a way by which you can be on the ballot and say, I'm a conservative libertarian and do all this freedom stuff and educating people, and they're going to go, you know, we just assume you not do that. So I'm sure there's a form that they want you to do and got to get approval. And then they say you can't. And you go, yeah, I can. No, you can't. I thought we were free. Well, you were wrong. We're only semi-free. And, you know, so tell us the process that you're going through and what you're learning advocating for freedom that way.
Wow.
Okay, wait. Push the right button. Okay, go.
Well, Polish Libertarian Party is now just an idea because we are just building it. It's not easy in Poland. It's not registered, but it doesn't matter. You see, to spread the message in politics, spread the message of liberty in Poland, you have to be in mainstream. They doesn't listen to the small parties.
You have to be mainstream. Is that what you said?
Yeah, okay. Mainstream.
Which means what? What's mainstream?
Mainstream parties.
Well, you say mainstream in Florida is big time different mainstream than New York City. I mean, you know, mainstream means what? Is you got to be for, you know,
for example,
a potato in every pot? I mean, what? I don't understand.
Civic platform is a party that is in government.
Mm-hmm.
This is mainstream. And mainstream is opposition in parliament. And it's another party. It's a very weak opposition. But
It's very difficult to spread the message when you are not in the parliament and the other parties that are have many money from taxpayers.
So they use taxpayer funds to maintain their positions of power. Sounds familiar.
Huge amount of taxpayers' money. Mainstream equals statism.
Jacek had to put that in there. Mainstream equals statism. You just had to say it.
Yeah, that's right.
Flavors of statism. I'm sorry, what?
Mainstream in Poland, in politics, means different flavors of statism. Yeah.
Okay, so this seems like this is becoming common knowledge at 23. You guys are starting to figure, let me ask you this question. You're looking at the political landscape philosophically and the practical politics of it. At 23, I mean, you think you kind of figured it out that, the mainstream, the statist in office and so on, they don't really care about this idea of you own yourself. That's a threat to them, is it not?
Yeah. Well, libertarians for example, libertarian in parliament would vote no on everything. So it's libertarianism in practice. So
they see you as a threat? I mean, are they even know you exist? Do they care? Are they surveilling you? Are you on somebody's list?
Mostly they ignore us.
That's good.
The media ignore us.
It's all right. Bypass them. It's called Facebook.
Yeah.
So how do you guys do on the internet? You guys, you're able to bring crowds to go protest Romney. I find that amazing.
Yes, we are pretty strong in the internet because, internet is for the young generation and we just need to tell our friend, let's go to Warsaw, let's go for an event, we'll show some signs, Poland support Ron Paul, and we'll be in media, maybe some Americans will see us, and let's show them we support freedom and liberty, and we like that actions. Facebook is, and internet is a great tool for freedom movements.
Are you afraid that they'll turn it off?
Yeah, they are still trying to do that in Poland.
Oh, they want to pass laws to where they can.
We had in Europe a bill that is called ACTA. I don't know. Do you know it?
No, but I know what it probably does. It's like you get to say what we are going to allow you to say when we want you to say it. I mean,
sopa pipa.
Yes, it's something like sopa pipa.
Yeah. No, I no doubt in my mind. Okay.
So when they were trying to put that ACTA on in the European Parliament, in whole Poland, in one day, were over 100 riots, protests, events. We were organizing one in our city, and that was the biggest protest in the history of the city. Over
grassroots.
Yeah, it was almost 2,000 of young people in one place. It's huge amount of people for our city because our city is pretty small.
Okay, let me ask you that. Here in America, it was the same kind of thing. The internet went crazy. They blacked out pages. They would just this page is blacked out, and they wouldn't publish news for a day. They just put a black, bar over, say, hey, we're blacked out. This is what's coming. So on, the people got upset. No, heck no. And they go, okay. We're not going to do that today. Well, then the next day they come and they call it something else. And then and they slip it in and they do. They want to control your access to the internet and putting information up. They want for you to have a passport. They want you to have a biometric scan, fingerprint, retina, whatever they want. They, them, those. They always go, Ernie, who are they? Who are they? Let me tell you who they are, okay? There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone, okay? The people that won't leave you alone, that's they, them, those. So the they, them, those in Europe, I guarantee you, they are pushing one thing. Is that they just don't want to be able to see which computer is online. They want to see which person is on that computer. And they want to have your fingerprint, breath, facial recognition, something. They want to be able to track any and everybody that puts anything up on the internet, because if you have access to the truth button to receive the information and, Lord forbid, to be able to put it up, you are a threat to the state. And the state permeates everything. And the state collectively, you keep going up high enough up at the pyramid, you get to the top, they control both sides. And it's the banks, okay?
Yeah.
It's all about the central banking thing. And this is being driven by... So, I mean, to think that, yeah, we... All these protests, and we beat them back. We don't want control in the internet. They're going to do it, sooner or later. You know, I keep bitching about it and making a big deal out of it. But sooner or later, the people are just going to have another form of communication. They'll have the private space race. We'll put up our own satellites to bypass DARPA and the military, industrial, DOD, America, Department of Defense, internet kind of, you know, next. We went to Internet 47, okay? So we're next. But I'm telling you, do you understand the force and the power behind that's trying to do this, and that they are never going to go away? You can't go away. I mean, do you see this?
Yeah, of course, I understand it, because in Poland we know about Rothschilds and
Rothschilds. Okay, yeah,
we know about it quite a lot because we have many movies on YouTube. They won't control it, right? That's why.
Wow! See, this is... I mean, to have the same understanding worldwide for the first time in human history, an entire generation. It's not just a country. You know, it's not just a region. It's not even a continent. It's a generation. Do you feel what's coming? Can you feel it? I feel it. These are just examples of it. They go, hey, man, Ernie, we're back in United States of America. You know, we want to talk, get you updated on what we're doing in Poland, what the people are thinking, the organization, manifestation of this philosophy. We'll talk about it more. You know, I'm going to go show them the workshop now and some of the goodies, and they'll be, woo-hoo-hoo, and we want to help. But I'm telling you, I already see where this goes. It's not if, it's when. And that win is very soon. And who are we up against? They, them, those. And we're winning.
This is Peace News Now with Derek J. Today is Friday, February 22nd, 2013. Here's what's happening in the world of peaceful evolution. Bitcoin is trading at just under 23 euros, 20 British pounds, or $30 American. Becky Oliver of Fox 4 News in Dallas released a recent investigative report on major security breaches at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. She captured a pattern of behavior by airport employees piggybacking or holding the door open for others, often strangers. This is a polite gesture in American society. At an airport where certain doors are locked and labeled for security, however, it's an obvious opening for anyone who wanted to sneak their way onto a plane unfettered. One random day at the airport with undercover cameras revealed dozens of violations. It's good to know that after you've arrived 3 hours early, thrown away your water bottle, taken off your belt and shoes, put your electronics in the tray, been zapped by an x-ray, and then groped by government, that your safety is, quite literally, in Uncle Sam's capable hands. The DFW Airport Administration and the TSA were reached for comment, but neither would talk. Lucy is 3 years old. She is disabled and bound to a wheelchair. Her parents were taking her on vacation to Disney World when they were stopped by, you guessed it, the TSA. One of the St. Louis TSA agents thought Lucy looked suspicious and demanded to pat her down to check for explosives and weapons. Even though it had already been scanned, Lucy's stuffed animal, Lammy, was taken away from her as she cried and said, I don't want to go to Disney World anymore. According to the TSA's own website, it is legal to film all TSA procedures except for naked body screens. When Lucy's mother insisted on getting her phone out to record the pat-down, the fat TSA agent lied on film, saying, it's illegal to do that.
It's illegal to do anything.
Peace News Now applauds Annie Schultz, Lucy's mother, for insisting and asserting her right to record this so-called public servant. Her father said,
it bothers me that my daughter was singled out specifically because she's in a wheelchair.
The ABC News reporter who broke the story notes that it was a happy ending, however, because Lucy eventually met Mickey Mouse. ABC News is a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
It's a generational thing, worldwide thing. Here comes thing. Get used to it. Thing. All right. This is what we're gonna. What I want to. There's so many things I want to do. It's fascinating talking to these guys and getting their perspective on Europe and the whole. You know, you're number 140 something on the list of gun rights. Thou shalt not get any gun, and they're already starting to do. Thou shalt not get any Facebook either. You know, you're not this flash mob concept. The communication between individuals, that's always been a threat. To the man, okay? Well, the man does not like it. Now, there are some things. Jacek has created an organization. He worked with the Language of Liberty Institute, which Glenn Kripe is a friend of ours here in Arizona that went to Europe because that's where his roots were, his grandparents. And he said, you know, I know what I can do in my retirement. I can, you know, get these young people exposed to the concepts of liberty and piss off all the right people, okay? Well, that's what's happening. And one of the people that he influenced, you know, Jacek, and he said, you know, I can do this. And he created something. What did he create? Let's ask him. Jacek, tell me what you did, man. What is it you're accomplishing over there?
Actually, back in summer 2011, when I was here in Phoenix doing internship for Goldwater and meeting lots of libertarians and having great time, I did invent idea of a project called Polish American Leadership Academy. It's an educational project. We do informal education. It's a semester long. We run two per year. We do it in the spring and in the fall. And we basically teach students ideas of freedom. We have four modules there. Austrian economics, political philosophy with a special stress on classical liberalism and libertarianism, ethics, and PR communication. So four fields we teach them semester long, every Saturday, 11 Saturdays, both in person in my city of Katowice, southern Poland, and online. Most of the students are actually the online ones because they come from all Poland. Even some of them are living abroad and they are tracking it online. And we have exams, so it's a very solid course. Jakub is actually a graduate, an alumni from the first edition, spring 2012. So after the program is completed, they do exams, and the best ones...
Exams, what's that mean?
Exams. So they are writing essays in ethics. They are writing hard exams in economics. It's only Austrian free market economics. They write essays in politics and they make videos in PR communication courses. Because what is our goal? I didn't say before. What is our goal? Our aim?
How many minds can you free?
How many minds? You know, I am so impressed about the numbers. Because when I started it, I was thinking, oh, maybe we're going to have like 20, maybe 30. And then the first edition comes, and I don't have really money for marketing, so I do only Facebook, spreading the message on Facebook through the organizations like Poland, through groups like Poland for Ron Paul, Coliber, the others, all friends in Liberty. And then we end up with 210, the first edition. And the second edition, 260.
Edition? What do you
edition,
mean?
Edition, it's a... Yeah.
An event? Or
this? I said already that we do this program two times a year. Each semester, I call edition. So
okay, I mean, but yeah. How did it manifest itself? I mean, how do they... Do they go to a hotel? Or
no,
they in your apartment?
No.
You got 210 people in your apartment?
No. It's in person. In person, in the city of Katowice, we rent a room from the University of Silesia. We rent the rooms. We have professors, most of them actually coming from Polish Mises Institute.
Mises Institute.
Yeah, yeah. And they are teaching our kids the ideas of freedom. But we also do it online. So we have like special e-learning platform online. So if you cannot go to the classroom, and most of these kids cannot because they are from whole Poland, not just from my city. They just log in there and they have MP3s, presentations, video, because we edit the videos from all these meetings every Saturday. They also have PDF books, PDF lectures, everything rooted in liberty. So the program, the aim is to shape the future generation of leaders for Poland rooted in the ideas of liberty. So we want more young freedom lovers, and we give them a tool. We give them a tool. And our aim is to do both spreading the knowledge, economic knowledge, also some very important ideas of freedom regarding philosophy, but also PR and communication. So we want them to be effective when they spread the message to the audience.
So what do? They leave your event and all of a sudden, you know, they become Jakub here and get all fired up?
Yeah,
and
yeah, he's a perfect example. He's an alumni. He's doing great things. But we don't tell, you know, this is like Freedom Project. We don't tell them, you will finish my project and I will make you a politician. No, I don't tell them this. I tell them, I give you some tools. I give you some good education.
You knew better. You visited Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. And they gave me Arizona is a charger for my freedom batteries. Mm-hmm. I need to come back and forth every year, let's say.
You know, what was
and,
interesting yeah. is Becky Finger is a... You know, she's kind of like a gossip columnist for politics. And she's, you know, she's a well-to-do widow of, you know, and she fills her time. She's a beautiful woman. She's been around for a long time. She's so fun and gregarious and loves life and, you know, go swimming with the dolphins kind of thing. But she likes politics. She likes to play her politics. And last year, year and a half ago, when it was, she knew that these young men, there were another couple of guys that, you know, were the last time, that had come as interns for the Goldwater Institute. Well, an intern for Goldwater Institute means, I don't know, free slave or something. But, you know, what they do is they have you do a lot of work and such. You learn some stuff. But it's really, you know, American policy, politic, and fundraising kind of, you get to have your rubber chicken dinner once a year and look at all the, you know, letters to the editor we got in the Wall Street Journal or something. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Which is fine. I mean, they do their, you know, whatever. But I'm such a purist that, you know, if they build up a name for something, then they use it to do something bad. I'm just next. Next. Because you know that whenever it really counts, there's other criteria other than just advocacy purely for the rights of the individual. And they'll rationalize it in whatever way. Yeah, but we got to, you know, stay relevant and the blah, 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 and I don't care. Okay? Becky saw that these young people coming from Poland were very principled-oriented, and they've been exposed to Mises information and Lou Rockwell and Libertarian and Ron Paul and all that. And she knew that, you know what, you guys need to meet Ernie, all right? So we went to dinner, and we got to, you know, hang out for a little bit, become friends. They came over, spent time. We did a show. We just turned on the microphone and went a couple hours at night one time. And, you know, they had a good time. They got to go shooting. They know they can come here and just chill and hang out, and we can have some fun. Now, it's magazine week, so we're pretty busy, but we'll carve off some time. I got tomorrow, we'll go shooting and get them all gunned up. But I tell you, this is just an example of the power of just seeding individuals, young people that hate lying. They hate hypocrisy. Just tell me the truth. And once they get it, then what? Well, then you start doing what Jacek does. He starts, you know, informing people. He finds out instead of 20 and 30, it's 200 and something showing up in a classroom at the university, taking the course, and then it explodes. And they start taking all the information they got from Jacek, and they start using it themselves. When we come back, we'll talk to Jakub about his experience and what he learned from his first meeting with him and how it exploded.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus.
Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius sent his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features. And corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Who grew up tall and proud in the shadow of the mushroom cloud? Rich now voices can't be heard.
Okay, now I'm going to go ahead and play in the background. Jacek wanted to make sure to show you, those of you that are on video, go ahead and go to the video. You know, in the archive, you want to see this. You know, it's in the second hour, in the second break, second segment here, is, you know, what they did, and it's in, you know, it's subtitled in English, but I'll go ahead and play this in the background. You guys get an idea, you know, what's going on here. Because what they've done is they're showing how they're doing the classes. You know, you get these people come in, they learn, they take what they learn, they go off and share it with other people. They learn economics, you know, they learn philosophy. They're like from all over the country. And that's another thing. You know, Poland is how large? You know, if we're looking at Poland, is it like the size of the state of Arizona, the size of Texas? You know, what are we looking at here?
Regarding the size,
yeah,
it'll be similar to Arizona, I would say. So smaller than Texas, substantially smaller than Texas. But regarding the population, it's more like California. It's 38 million.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah.
So you got 38 million people in a relatively, you know, small area.
Right.
So when you have an event, it's like I'm driving from Flagstaff to Phoenix or something. I mean, you know, you got
exactly.
People. So it's within a day's drive to come from anywhere in the entire country.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, the roads are not that good. But, yeah, if you want to get from southern Poland, where we live, actually, to the capital, you need to reserve like 3 hours. If you want to go to the another edge of Poland, because capital is in central. But if you want to go from south to north, you need to reserve like 6 hours driving.
Okay. Yeah. So you had... I see Jakub in some of this video here. So was that, Jakub, was that your first one, the first event that you went to?
No. You mean in that video,
yeah.
Is it my first time in academy, right?
Yeah.
You
mean, was that your first time or no?
No, actually, I were before in project like this one. This was my second academy. So I went before in the other academy of my friend that is part of the European Parliament. He made his own academy, and the second one is that Jacek created Polish American Academy.
Okay, now let's go ahead and talk about what you think you learned. What did you get out of this? I mean, you went to this thing. You expected to learn what, and what did you learn?
Well.
What did you expect?
My knowledge was like I knew about the philosophy. I've read many books, and I think I couldn't improve my knowledge about the philosophy of liberty. But my knowledge about economy was rather poor, as I said on the video. I know that it's a good economy, but I couldn't explain it very well. After this course, I was much better at explaining why free economy is better than statism.
Okay.
It's the first and the most important advantage of that academy.
Now, with that knowledge, you know, did you learn something about communication? I mean, like how to do, did they teach you how to make a YouTube, or they teach you how to communicate, or how to do a fly? I mean, you know, this activism, obviously somebody, you know, knew how to make signs. I mean, you know, where did you guys make the signs?
Well, about communication, I've learned a lot, but I'm quite close person, so it's more difficult for me, but I'm learning, still learning, and academy gave me a lot, but I still have to learn a lot about communication and PR.
You know, what they call it, I mean, you probably, I don't know if you'd understand this comment, it's what they call a force multiplier. Okay, it's when you do something to where it one person will create an environment so that 300 people know what he does, and then it just expands. It goes viral. It's all over. So, Jacek, you know, when you started that, I mean, that's kind of really what you were hoping to accomplish, right? Is get a whole bunch of guys like Jakob here.
Exactly. That was the goal. You know, back in summer 2011, where I was here in Phoenix together with my friend Damase, we were talking about how...
I liked saying his name, too. Okay, go ahead.
We were thinking, how can we start something in Poland to really influence public opinion and change Poland in the long term? And we are thinking, yeah, maybe we should start think tank, maybe something like that. But then I came into the conclusion, we don't have people to be in this think tank, really. Like, there's not enough people who has, you know, who know how to do economics, how to do freedom politics or things like that, or basically the people who have these ideas rooted. So I said, dude, we should start the academy. We should start from the scratch. We should tell them the basics. And then, I don't know, some of them will go and form some think tanks, like Mises Institute of Poland, or some of them will go maybe to Libertarian Party and try to change it through politics. Some of them probably will go to business. And I hope so, they will. Express the freedom on the market, in the market sphere. Some of them will become journalists. Actually, I have a guy who just written to me recently that he got promoted, he got hired to second largest Polish daily paper called Rzeczpospolita, like Respublika. And he's writing about economics, and he said, Mr. Director, because they call me sometimes like that, which is funny. Can you pass me some information to contact information to any freedom Austrian economists who I can make a interview with, so they can explain what the crisis is about and what are the true reasons?
Oh, they don't want you doing that.
They did publish an interview with Kurt Rothhoff, an American economist. Free market economist who is saying the truth in this interview, and this is in the second largest Polish paper. I was kind of proud, you know, our alumni doing things like that. That is how you can actually make a change.
That's how you make the list. Is there a list your name's on? Is there some government bureaucrat or agency, or, you know, like the equivalent of the Internal Revenue Service that wants to, you know, check your permission slip or something? I mean, are you coming to the interest of important people?
We don't know that.
Are you worried?
No.
Do you care?
No, we don't, because we say the truth. And
no, that's what makes you dangerous. You know what? What was it? Ron Paul is quoting in his book Revolution. He's like, it's dangerous when you're telling the truth and the government is based on lies or something like that. Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, this is where you're at, man. Right in the middle of it in Poland. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Jacek, Jakob, and David. We'll be right back.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Get on you.
Okay, well, this is what they... Okay, well, they had the, you know, the Germans visit them before, okay? Well, they don't understand what's going on in the European Union. The Germans are, wanting to visit them again, okay? So so they understand. You know, it's a left jackboot, the right jackboot, or the jackboot on your throat party. You know, here they go. Now, they have a project inspired by, you know, Jacek's event and so on, and getting the information and be able to communicate. You know, Jacob is like, you know, he and David are doing this thing. Now, I got to get this. It took me the whole break to be able to say this, okay? Sosnovyets. Close. That was close. Sosnovyets. You know, it's what they did is they had the this city is kind of a combination. You know, it's left. Okay, it's, you know, big overspending. They're putting up a debt clock. They're bringing attention to all the things. Excuse me. That the city council or the government there is doing. They're just like, see. Hey, no, we're not saying anything other than see. And what happens is, how would we classify them? They go, it's kind of a combination of San Francisco, Baltimore, and Detroit. And I go, we all know what that means. Okay, so we're looking at, you know, Detroit Franciscomore, and we have this city, and they're wanting to point out all the bad stuff. Now, David is very, he does a lot of work in this, you know, there, but he's kind of shy because his English isn't as great. I think we understand him just fine. So, David, go ahead and tell me what it is that you're trying to accomplish in Poland, in your town where you're from, right?
I'm from Sosnowiec.
Sosnowiec. Sosnowiec. Said it wrong. Okay, yes. I'll just make sure you say it right.
Sosnowiec is very horrible city. Our president, Sosnowiec, is communist. Really.
Communist?
Communist.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, we know that. No, keep going. No, you can talk. What are you doing? What do you hope to accomplish there? You're busy doing stuff in Sosnowiec. And you say it took me a long time to get that right. I got to say it so I don't forget. And while you're there, you're interested in doing what? What are you hoping to accomplish there?
Me and Jakub are a member of organization Constructive Sosnowiec Society. And we were starting in voting in Poland.
Start taking what? What's the word?
The wyborów.
Elections.
Okay, yeah. Elections.
Local elections.
Okay, so in the local elections, you're starting to get involved there. Do you have people that you like? Are you looking for people that you like? You're going to explain to him what I said. The candidates, do you have people that you want to support? Are there people there to run for office?
Yeah.
Are you going to run for office?
I was a candidate to election.
Oh, you politician. Okay. So you run for office. How'd you do? Okay.
1%.
Okay. 1%, yeah.
1%. Well, I mean, did you get in the press? Did people talk to you? Were people, they listened? Did you get to, you know, some ink on paper? I mean, did you pass out stuff? Were you there?
Well, it was crazy because we were at our vacations and we thought, let's start for an office in our city, the most leftist city in Poland, and make some crazy crap.
Noise, yeah.
Yeah, some noise about free markets and libertarian views. It would be nice. So we came to our city, and the elections were about to, starting in 2 weeks, something like that. And we started 2 weeks before elections, yeah. And we were everywhere in the city. We had something about 10 people, and that 10 people worked really hard. And we were everywhere and telling people about free markets. A lot of them were, what? Free what?
Free?
Free? What does it mean? It's Sosnowiec mentality.
So what happened? I mean, after the election. I mean, yeah, 2 weeks before the election, yeah. But you had to have, you know, some effect later. People were going, yeah, those guys.
Media was shocked because we were guys outside of the establishment.
And it was strange in that city, because that city is really, really hard communism there. You know what I mean. There are a lot of old establishment and old members of communist party, etc. We were new and young, and we were about free market and freedom.
Well, has there been any opposition? Has there been any, you know, agents come visit you, the police, you know, beat you up on the corner, you're not allowed to have that sign? I mean, you know, not get really renditioned to Syria or something? I mean, you know, what's the negative side? Have they paid really any attention to you?
Well, the police didn't came to our home, to our houses, and didn't beat us up, but they were looking at us very in a very weird way.
Well, what way? I mean, what did they see? They see you as a threat, or they're just like, yeah, whatever.
Yes, because media ignored us, but some people in the establishment were in some way very kind to us, because
you were news.
Yes, we were news, newbies, right? We were completely newbies in politics and didn't know about PR communication and marketing. We just came and tell free market. We want free market here. This is the most leftist city. We don't want it. So we came, and some people actually were surprised, and they told us they didn't expect the free market movement in this city, and they are for freedom. They want freedom. Many people. It was like about over 1,000 people, because we got that many votes in elections.
Oh no, there's a lot more than 1,000. If you got 1,000 votes, that means you got like 20,000 on your side. How big a town is it? How big a city? How many? What's the population?
Well, the population is something about 200,000 of people.
Whoa! So it's not a small community. It's a good medium-sized community.
But most of them are. It's hard to say, because it's not really correct, politically correct. Oh,
politically correct.
Yeah, because most of them are without a job and drinking all the time, and
so they're living off the government.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
they don't want you to take away their goodies.
After elections, we just our first thought was, let's continue it. It's quite nice, because some people were surprised, but they were positively surprised. Politicians were ignoring us firstly, but in the next step, they seen that we are not a really small group of extremists, but we are really trying to spread the message and get into the city council. We had a candidate for a president. It was very big, and we are bigger and bigger each month, each year. It was 2 years ago, and now we are quite strong local think tank. We did a lot of research. We are making, for example, debt clock.
The debt clock for the city.
Yeah.
Are they in debt? Are they in big debt?
Big debt.
Big debt.
Yeah.
Never going to pay it debt. Waiting for Germans to pay bail you out debt. You know, kind of, it's going to fall debt. Yeah. The euro's done debt. Is it all over debt? Yeah. Are you needing some silver debt? Get it? This is worldwide. You think, you know, we're all activists sitting here going, yeah, we already know what they're going through. You think it's any different? You think it's they, them, those wanting you to be their slave? And they said, what if we're not going to be your slave? Then what? I don't know. But we're going to find out. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show. I'm a racing car, passing by like Lady Godiva.
I'm gonna go, go, go. There's no stopping me. Oh, no stopping us here on the Clay Independence of Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona. If you're from Poland, you're going, Arizona's very nice, very nice. You know, that's one thing. How long have you guys been here? You know, you came in, I knew you were coming, but how long have you been here, Jacek?
Okay,
This time I arrived in the United States on January 24. I spent first 10 days here in Phoenix, mostly meeting my old friends, meeting some prospective donors for my academy, different people, a lot of fun, beautiful weather comparing to really bad one in Poland. Then I went to Miami with Glenn Kribe and LLI, Language for Liberty team, for Liberty Camp with Cuban exiles.
Ah.
Yeah, the guys who were in prison, beaten by Castro, just came to United States in recent months, and they know they don't like communism. They know they don't like totalitarianism, but they not necessarily know what they want. And we were there to tell them what is good and what is the...
you're not allowed to do that. You do that, you'll mess up people for the rest of their lives, and they'll want to be free and left alone, and then the man doesn't like that, and they got shiny badges and guns and says, we don't like that. Yeah. And that's my question. Yeah. Is in Poland, when you guys do this kind of stuff, you know, as time goes on, you become a bigger and bigger threat. You know, they're going to try to explain it to you. They're going to say, oh, no, you're not allowed to, you know, free the minds, because it already sounds like you're having an infection. We call it the injection of the libertarian infection into the bone marrow of American politics, for which there is no cure, okay? And once you start, and you keep going, just being there, winning, how many votes you get, you know, like David, just being out there explaining it to the people and say, freedom good, government not good, okay? So you do that, you're dangerous. Whether you're from Castro's Cuba or you're from, communist Poland. So I just want to understand, have you been getting any resistance from the government, or do you expect any?
Regarding my activity, I never faced any physical resistance, to be honest. But, you know, in Poland, you hear some horrible stories in the news. It's mostly related to the small business people, and they are having horrible time with IRS, with Polish social security, mandatory compulsory social security. And one story I can tell you, it was big in Polish media. Thanks God it was big in Polish media. A lady, single mother, with a kid, I don't know, 4 years old or something. She is a small business person. She's selling flowers. She's having a little kiosk or something on the market square in some town in Poland. And, you know, a couple months in the past, she did something that government calls mistake. I mean, they call it crime, actually. She gave the customer not an proper invoice. Not proper invoice.
For flowers.
She was supposed to give some, I don't know,
A receipt of some kind.
And she gave another receipt, not the one she was supposed to give. Like, something which is super minor, right? That's not important, right? And the police came at 5 a.m. and arrested her and left. And then they took the kid and put it to some, I don't know, what is, a shelter or something for kids, you know, because the kid was alone. And that was horrible, you know. And it's something that has an impact on the kid's physical health. Mental health.
Yeah.
It could be.
Would me.
And this is about the invoice and the receipt. The wrong receipt. And then you arrest a woman 5 a.m. And this is in the country where you can steal a car or steal any other property, and they would call it a minor thing, and you don't go to arrest. That's as much. There will be much more relaxed about your activity if you steal property than if you just give a wrong receipt and you don't pay
the
taxes you are supposed to.
It was a tax thing.
Yeah, she probably didn't pay like 10 penny, you know, for government.
So she's a young woman.
Yeah, yeah.
So how did the media treat it that she got out?
That was good, because media basically showed the story as, you know, like government went too far, the police went too far, and the court, because the court needed to make a decision to arrest her, like they treated the story as, you know, an example of not humanitarian.
That she was being bad to the people because she wasn't paying her fair share of taxes.
Yes, but it's important that she had this small kid and that the kid had this horrible time, you know.
you know, her.
Does she still have her flower shop now?
We don't know that, but I don't know.
So
I
it's in this
you.
Kind of environment that you guys are, you know, having an impact. I mean, you're.
It's an environment in which. To run a small business is a horrible thing. There is even, but thanks God, like media is doing something about it. Like in the big Polish TV, Polsat TV, there is a TV show called "State Within the State," and it means. But that's a direct translation. What it means is basically. Like the circus within the state, like craziness in the state. So they are talking to local small business people about their experience with the government, their experience with the police, their experience with the IRS. And very often these businesses are killed just for super small minor things. Very often they are killed by controls. The control is coming and they stay for months in the company. You are not supposed to work because you have bureaucrats around you and you need to confess to them about everything you do, and they are basically killing you. So
why?
Media is doing good thing because they are talking more and more about these issues.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does the government in Poland realize that they're hurting the economic engine and they just don't care? Is it for their friends? Is it just to get more money now? Do they realize that, you know, everything is going to crash, it's going down? Do they not realize it? Think they can just pass a law and it's just going to make it better? I mean, what is their mindset? Why are they hoping, planning on a collapse? I mean, it seems like it would be, to a lot of people, you would think it would be obvious that what they're doing in Detroit is bad, but that doesn't stop Detroit from keep doing the bad stuff. They'll just run it into the ground, just like everywhere else. So you're describing San Fran Moroit, you know, whatever it is, you know, that this town that you guys are from. Let me see if I can say it.
Sosnowiec.
That was close. Okay. Now, the thing is, here, you're seeing it as an example of government going after individuals for being, they're punishing them for being productive, for making jobs, for making money. But the people that are being rewarded are the ones that are living off the state, getting fed by them, getting money from. They want the state because they get to sit back and drink their vodka. Okay? So I am like, do the young, your guys' age, see that that is not sustainable? That's not going to keep, it can't. It's not going, and then what are you going to do for alternative currency? How are you going to barter? How are you going to feed yourself? Are you guys learning to grow food? Are you guys starting to, you know, put the aquaponics on your grandmother's farm and growing vegetables on your balconies? I mean, are you guys seeing that it's going to become about food? It's always about food. And what about inflation? What about the pricing? Is it starting to go up? The young people don't have jobs. How are they feeding themselves? You know, in the third hour, this is what we're going to be talking about. Actual life in Poland. What the future holds for your generation. Because, you know, while I would use, like David is doing, running for office and so on, gives you an opportunity to be able to share with the people what's happening. Look. These are the bad guys. This is how you can tell they're bad. Look at the debt that they're passing on. Look at all of the laws and all the freedoms that they're taking away from you. Look at the force that they're putting on you. Look at all the bad examples. We have a solution. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? Okay, freedom good, government bad, 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 bad. And you say that and you start to ingrain that. Then what? Because for you guys to be free, this has to come down. For this to go down, that means a lot of the guys that depend on the government for their work and their jobs, they're not going to have it anymore. Then what? You know, they're just going to go quietly into that. They're going to go, oh, wow, I wish you would have told us this before. Now we're with you. No, they're going to fight. They're going to kill. They're going to use the army. They're going to use false flag. They're going to use all kinds of things to try and maintain their control. And your generation is going to rise up. Rise up. It's going to be a Freedom's Phoenix. From the ashes of whatever the heck this thing is, there's going to be an explosion of awareness and understanding. Then what? How are you going to feed yourself? Who has the land? Where's the food going to come from? Who are you going to associate? How are you going to defend yourself? You know, you don't have any guns. You know, or maybe you do. So I want to know what's next. Because this next is going to happen across the planet. It already is starting. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, we're not afraid! But we should be relatively concerned. I mean, these guys, you know, they're newbies, you know, just like we were 20 years ago. Don and I were talking here about different things that they're doing, showing them what our impact is and how. And, you know, 20 years ago, we're whatever to build to this, and they're going to be doing the same thing 20 years from now. What is Poland going to look like? What's the invite? What are the bad guys going to be offering? The government's going to say, hey, we went from, Soviet communist union kind of days of the Iron Curtain behind, and now they're, what? They're any different? You know, how different are they? You know, and it's just still a government. It's just which government? You know, you got this ism and that ism. You got the left jackboot, the right jackboot, the communist statist party, or the, you know, fascist statist party. It's still the statist party of we rule you. What happens when you have the concept of I rule myself? How about that? I vote that. Oh, that's not even supposed to be on the menu. You only get you. That's not on the menu. So I'm going. Okay, wait. Push. Oh, there it is. Okay, so now I'm looking at, you know, what kind of a environment, a future do they have? And they're looking to have an impact during elections. I'm hip to that. I don't vote and I run. I mean, you know, I run for Congress, U.S. Senate, all kinds of stuff. You're still voting? I mean, but, oh, we're advocating. You know, we're running for an office to be able to set a standard by which these guys can't call themselves libertarian, because this is the one thing that they got to think about, and I don't know if they got worried about it, but they'd be certainly expect it. There is going to come a time to where it's the next election or the election after that that they're going to go, I'm libertarian. I'm a free market guy. You know, I've been, of course, member of the Communist Party, and my dad was, and the head of, and I got a shiny tie, all the right contacts, and I know how to spell freedom. F-R-E. I mean, you know, these guys, they're just going to use this as a voting block, as a power. But how do you keep them honest? Well, they already started a debt clock. They already are starting to get inside the minds of the people. That's what I want to hear about. How deep in just the last few years of them doing this, from Glenn Kripe doing the Language of Liberty, you know, from Jacek starting his program, getting support from a lot of, you see a lot of logos, a lot of freedom orientees out here raising money for. I'm sure Becky probably helping you guys, you know. Thank you, Becky. Yeah, thank you, Becky. You know, this is, I can see this happening, you know, but I don't know if they really understand the power of what they're doing. Now, Jacek, let's go ahead and talk about that. I want to kind of get an idea just how deep you think the infection is. I mean, are you in this for the long haul? Are you, like, for the rest of your life, you're doing this? You made a career out of this? This is a decision, or is this a step on your way to just go live a life, get married, have kids, and a white picket fence in front of the yard, or whatever Polish people do? So, I mean, you know, what is your long-term goal? What are you hoping to achieve? And how would you know when you achieved it?
I'm focusing on spreading these ideas, and I needed to find out which way of spreading these ideas I am the most effective in. Am I good in, I don't know, research? Am I good in academia? Am I good maybe in grassroots? Or am I good in, like, education? And I found out I'm probably the best in education. So
I decided to start this project, and this is an educational project, informal education. We are not like a university. Very often people apply to my project and they say, we are fed up with this interventionist Keynesian version of economics. We want something true. And I deliver.
Is it economics? Do you think that's the main thing that really draws a lot of people? It's not like, you know, like ending drug war, getting the government out of, who gets married to whatever and all that kind of social property. You think it's mostly primarily economics?
I think it's both. I just tell you what I read in this applications they send to me. They mostly talk about economics, but if you understand the principles of free market economics, then you're not calmed down, and you look further, and you often see the bigger picture. So for me, Why I'm there? It's not that I sat by the desk and I was thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do in my life to feed myself and stuff, and I founded this. No, because it is a passion. So I never applied for any job, to be honest. I just did this. And the ideas came itself. Like the one about the project I do, it came here in Phoenix in 1.5 years ago. So I combine both, the passion and the job, but it's not like sitting and, you know, thinking, what a career do I want? No, it's just happening, and at some point I can realize both. Like, I can do what I love, what I'm passionate about, and I can sustain my life with this.
Well, you know, we've been trying to sustain our life for 20 years, but it's better than it has been. You know, let's go ahead. I want to, you know, talk to David or Jakob. You know, tell me, Jakob, what is your long-term goal? You're 23. You know, you're hoping to what? I mean, to make a life out of this, or just create an environment that you can, you know, be free in? I mean, what are you hoping to accomplish?
Well, I can tell that I am real egoist, because
Real what?
Egoist.
Egoist.
You understand it?
No.
Selfishness.
Oh, egoist.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know it's Ayn Rand kind of thing. You know, the traits of I get to be myself kind of deal.
Yes.
I work for me.
It's in my self interest to be free. I want to be free. I want to I want freedom for my kids and for my grandkids and etc., for my whole family and friends. I want to be free in that environment. I don't want government in my life, and I want to have a free business and feed my family and do whatever I want, have a gun to defend myself. That is my goal. And that's all.
Let's talk about, you know, gun laws in Poland. Do you ever think that is going, they're going to lose? Okay, you get to have guns. All right, we changed the law. You think that's going to happen?
We are doing our best to pass a good law for guns, but I'm not sure it will ever happen, because it's not confident for a government. We have very strict law for guns in Poland. It's,
you know, laws don't really matter. First, it's you got to convince the people that restrictions on guns are bad.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, once you convince the people, the other stuff just starts to happen.
The most of people in Poland believes that guns are very dangerous, and it's because of communism and occupation before communism, war. You know, it's difficult to spread this message, because most of people doesn't understand that not gun is killing a man, it's a man that is killing a man.
And you don't want the government having a monopoly on force. I mean, they're the only ones that got you. Guns are so bad, the first people you take them away from is the government. So what's your opinion on this?
I agree with Jakub, and it's a paradox in Poland that, you know, people are afraid about the guns after these communist and the Nazi era, but they got in this Nazi era and communist era because they were unarmed. They did not have guns. So we try to explain them that it is also about the future of Poland as an independent country. If you have bad neighbors, they are less likely to attack you if they
see the armed society. And Poland has a tradition of uprisings. How do you want to do uprising without guns?
Oh, see, this is, you know, does it sound familiar? It's worldwide.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid-back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at donnahancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Arizona with the men from Poland changing the world. Jakub, David, and Jacek. Yeah, a lot of ya-ya's there. You know, it's that Polish thing. You know, I like saying, oh, what was the guy's name that was here last year? I like to say his name.
What his name is Damazy.
Damazy.
Yeah.
Damazy.
Damazy.
Yeah, so what was the town that you guys are from is Selznowiec.
The town they are from is Sosnowiec, and I am from the city of Katowice.
See, it sounds like you guys, the Polish people, it's like they got a different word for everything. They have. So this is, you know, that's one thing that I think is of interest, you know, to a lot of people is, you know, as we do this influence into the younger people, is it primarily the younger people, or are there older people that are coming and being part of it? They, you know, been this classic liberal from before going, God, man, thank goodness you guys are finally getting it. You know, I'm glad you're here. I was here 40 years ago fighting underground with the blah, 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 and they show up. And then how many of them are really government agents? And how many, you know, so what kind of influence are you having with the older generation?
I would say that it's primarily a thing for young people now. I mean, it's for everybody, but the young people are more interested in Poland in this stuff. You don't see that many older people doing these things. Yeah, you find some of them in the Conservative Libertarian Party we have in Poland, which was established. It's the oldest political party in Poland, except one, Farmers' Party, but is the oldest among the ones established after communism, let's say. They are like 24 years old,
okay,
or something.
This is
you'll find a bunch of older guys there, but just the party, because if you look at the young movement, the Koliber Youth or the Ron Paul Poland or My Academy or whatever, you find mostly young.
An effort when the Soviet Union fell in the early 90s to flood the Eastern Bloc with a lot of books and information and videos and you know, VHS tapes and whatever. There was a big giant, and a lot of it was also from religious groups. They wanted to make sure that, you know, because they knew what was going to happen. It was, you take the cloud, the umbrella of the Soviet force, we're going to make you go into the gulag kind of thing, and you take that away, what happens then? You know, they had Radio Free America, and, you know, like Radio America, that kind of stuff. You know, they're, you know, trying to communicate, you know, it was more propaganda for United States more than it was for libertarianism. But some people did get involved. That's where, like, Glenn Kripe, you know, is what he's done with Language of Liberty and so on. So, yes, I can understand that there would be people from 20 years ago that are now in their 40s, 50s, my age, that were part of the initial exposure to a lot of this. But they didn't really live it yet. They didn't really understand that they were just continuing the same thing after the fall of the Soviet Union that you guys with Lakhruenza and all these guys. Then it's just the labor unions. Then it's just more control of the government in a different way. But they still maintain control, and all the time it goes back to the banks, and they get you in debt. And now your generation and your kids are in debt. So now it's taken another 20. That's why they call it like the fourth turning. There's a book. It's all about, you know, 20-year segments. It keeps changing. It evolves to where you get to where you guys are now. So when you're doing this, how many? I want to hear about that from you, Jacob. You know, tell me when you go to these different events and groups and gatherings. How many times do you have the older guys coming and talking to you? And who are they? Describe them.
Well, in our movement, let's call it free market movement, there are not many older guys, but there are some, but mostly there are conservative free marketers, not libertarians, mostly conservative. But we have some...
Well, define conservative first. You know, when they say conservative, what does that mean?
It's about economical freedom, but statism in morality. Do you understand it?
Yeah. Neocon.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it's like that. Mm-hmm. But we have some older guys that are libertarians and anarchists, but it's very rare.
Okay.
In Libertarian Party, there is a guy. Jacek Sierpiński. He is 40 or 45 or something like that.
Ancient. Yeah. Okay.
Well, and he is a libertarian. He is our program coordinator in the Libertarian Party, and he's a very great guy. I respect him and I like him, but he is one of the few in our movement.
Well, the younger people, are they experienced in just that government's bad? They know something's not working? Or are they really advocating for a government that's going to respect their rights? Or are they more anarchists and say, man, we just don't need government? I mean, are there people that say we vote non-government? Are there those people?
Yeah.
A lot? Majority?
Wait.
In your movement?
Quite a lot, but it depends. We have some minarchists, some anarcho-capitalists, some classical liberals. It's very...
No, it's amazing to me that you guys have the same language that's used by a lot of the Levolution here. You know, you categorize the strata that way. You know, there's some people are just no government, some are many government, some are, you know, and they would base it on what? Are they advocating for a certain kind of government? Do they like parliamentary system of government better? Do they want kind of the U.S. system? Do they want a none system? They want to go down to counties, to cities, to the individuals' own. I mean, what are they really, you know, advocating? I'm amazed that you guys are using the same language, you know? So I'm wondering 20 years from now, and 20 years goes by like that, by the way, okay? I just want you to describe to me what would be an ideal Poland.
Well, let me put it in this way. The reality we can achieve in 20 years in Poland...
is unknown. It's going to be more than you think.
Yes, in unknown, but I think we will not have anarcho-capitalism in Poland in 20 years. Maybe in 100 years, but not 20 years. It's
five
impossible.
Years.
Five. But we are doing our best.
Black Swan,
you understand?
Here it comes.
We are doing our best to achieve it. But it's very, very difficult. But if we will achieve a small government with small taxes, low debt, and you understand, it will be great for us, great achievement.
Yeah, no, it will. I tell you, one thing that I say, I don't know if it translates well, you guys understand, but I go, you know, it's coming, and it won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. And the reason I say that is you see things change. You are the change. I see it in you, you know, but you don't see what I see. I see that this builds up to all of a sudden, one Monday morning, it's all over. The government's failed. The dollar's gone. The euro went.
I mean,
you know, it's like all of a sudden one Monday and you go, what just happened? You know, and you'll understand what needs to replace it. And most often, it's nothing.
Yeah.
How about I replace it with nothing?
Taryn P. Lupo's new novel, One Nation Under Blood, is finally out. When a rejuvenative blood technology is developed that pits the young against the old, the government must take firm steps to address the war of supply and demand brewing across generational lines. Blood is not the only thing bought and sold in this dystopian tale of technology, economics, and independence. Vampires are now very real, but we never expected them to wear our grandmother's best Sunday dress. Buy it at any major online retailer or at his website, lupolit.com.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
You don't know how lucky you are, boys. Back in the U.S., back in the U.S., back in the USSR.
Oh, do I got to go to Russia? Eastern Bloc, so I can open a business, you know, so I don't have to have as many, which is freer? You know, is it Detroit, Michigan, or is it Warsaw, Poland? I don't know. I mean, you know, keep in mind, you know, in our history, it was April 19th was Militia Day, Freedom Day, Shot Heard Around the World Day, April 19th. It was also when they, you know, laid waste to Waco. And it was also the anniversary of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, where people held off the Third Reich for a long time just by being, hell no, we won't go, and we resist in Warsaw Ghetto. So this is, you know, our heritage kind of links a little bit with Poland. And the book, Unintended Consequences, started off in the Warsaw Ghetto. Now, we just have the, Donna, go ahead and try and put up the Kindle file, the Mobi file, Unintended Consequences. We have, you know, we put the PDF of it, and all of a sudden it shot to our downloads, man. Everybody went, ooh, thank you. Well, we're going to put up the Kindle download up there, too. We'll put that in the show today. You go check today's show, and you can have that. And this is, man, they translate, it's Wednesday, February 27th. You know, you go to that show, and you'll have that. If they translate Unintended Consequences into Polish, damn. But you see, it doesn't matter, you know, because the generation next, they're learning English. That's one thing. Jacek, you know, help me out here. The is it a second language? If you're under 30 years old, how many people speak English fairly well?
Among the young ones, yeah.
Yeah, under 30, I mean.
I would say 70%. Yeah, definitely. It's a second language. Of course, not official. Like, is the one you are learning at school as a second language, mostly. So
what would be another one? French,
then another one,
Chinese,
would be
Russian,
Spanish,
what?
French, German.
Spanish, like, French, German, English.
Yeah, yeah.
So how many languages do you speak?
It's mostly English and basic Spanish and basic German, but they're really basic, so I'm not fluent. Or
you can find a bathroom.
Yeah, I can go to the bar and order a drink.
All right,
in Spanish.
You know, the important part.
Yeah,
you know, and yeah, what's up, babe? You know, I get it. Okay,
and so liberty is libertad. I know.
Very cool. Very cool. So let's go ahead and talk about the future. I know you're looking at in the future. Well, maybe not my life. Well, maybe someday. Well, maybe my grand. Well, maybe I'm here to tell you. Okay. I've been, you know, doing this a long time when I was your age, okay? And I'll tell you, it is way closer than you think. It is like next month kind of thing. I mean, it's going to hit you by such surprise that you're going to need to be ready for just distributing the information just with freaking, you know, Xerox machine on your Facebook, have a, you know, Freedom 101 kind of deal. You know, this is what, if when we go and they want us to form another government, which they're going to do, oh, this one's broke, we're going to do another one. It's going to be the same guys doing the same stuff in the same way, and they'll call it something different. Okay, they'll be calling it Austrian Economic Free Market, We Rule You. Okay, it's going to be, so you need to be ready to And prep the people in this generation next into not accepting a counterfeit freedom movement. So I'm wondering, you know, from our perspective here in America, we're looking, you know, we have some experience with this revolution thing, real revolution, you know, bloodshed revolution. No, we're not going to go get on the cattle car revolution. No, you're rounding up the good guys. You know, how much resistance spirit do you think there is in Europe or Poland?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I agree with you that we need to be prepared because this crazy welfare state in that may collapse soon, and we'll end up in a new reality where there'll be again a lot of status calling for new government, and we need to be prepared to be strong enough to tell the people this is counterfeit, as you say. But for today, for the day-by-day activity, like, I would like to mention that Polish libertarians are slightly different than American in one sense, as we are weaker than your movement here. We try to work united. These anarchists work united with paleo libertarians, with, bleeding heart something guys. Why? Because we believe that until we reach the point where we have this super minimum state, then we should work together. When we get to this point, yeah, then we will maybe have a internal divisions, and we'll say, oh, no, let's demolish it totally. Some others would say, no, let's keep the...
But you're a long way from getting to that decision.
We in Poland, we are sharing the notion of Murray Rothbard, who said that any single, even small step to... to less government intrusion in people's lives is a hallelujah. I mean, he said, if I see any single, even small step where government is disappearing, I would call hallelujah. That's what we do. And we try to demolish it as far as we can get. That'll be cool.
Okay, this is one thing, and I want to ask you about this. Now, Jakub, you know, I'm thinking as we go further into the future, it's going to collapse. I'm of that opinion. And that's usually what they, when you have such a large population dependent on the government, you know, for literally food and water and, you know, all kind of, you can do anything. I'm wondering, is there any kind of a self-sustaining movement? That's a big thing here in the U.S. It is taking off. You know, they call it doomsday preppers or prepper or survivalist or whatever, and they got years of food. They know it's going to... Here, the Mormon community is really big in that. You know, they have 2 years of food or you're a bad Mormon, okay? So I'm going, is there any kind... You go into someone's cupboard in Poland, do they have preserves and food to last more than a month?
Well, I didn't hear about it. Really. In Poland... Not really.
If you really believe that the economic system is bad,
yeah,
and that it's not going to sustain itself, and you're doing debt clocks, and you're not getting enough food to last even a little while, you don't understand what's coming.
It's not that easy in Poland, because in Poland, when you have your salary, it's very difficult to save something. And you need save something to buy food for saving.
Can you buy some seeds?
Well, yeah.
Can you grow on your balcony? Can you have a 2-liter aquaponic making some lettuce kind of something?
Not really, because most people live in blocks of apartments, in flats. And
do they got a window?
Yes.
Grow a tomato plant!
Yes, but we can have small, really small tomato or potato.
Please, just as a movement. You know, just as an idea, as a concept, you know, you could have a freedom plant, you know, you're going to put this in your, I'll bet you if you guys did that and you had, and, you know, put a little label on it, you know, the freedom plant or the liberty tree or whatever the heck it is. And you grow some little bit. Yeah. Liberty trees. Oh, make it a little apple tree or a little citrus, you know, and they do it in their window. Just the idea of learning, of growing something, growing liberty, liberty trees, learning how to feed something, plants, you know, just, you know, go on the internet, make a YouTube, whatever. You start getting where people start growing stuff. Just the idea of making something green, I guarantee it changes their mindset.
Yeah. Well, some people...
I want to do it. I'll do it. I'll help you. I'll do it. You don't got to worry about it. You just help me. I'll do it. Na 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 na. That's how this stuff starts, man. It's up here. It's being able to sustain them. I understand what you're saying. It's going to be, they can't save enough money. There's nowhere for them to grow it. They live in this big giant apartment complexes with one window. They got, you know, I get it. It's a mind thing. It's up between the ears. It's just that they made something green. And do you have family that has any kind of farms or anything
yes.
out in
the? Yes, and they have a lot of food in there. And they have plants. You know, we have some plants and some savings, but it's really difficult in Poland to do it.
Seeds. I want to help.
Yes, yes.
All right. No, we can help. I'll do it just okay. so I can say, Neon, I freaking told you so.
Why not?
Okay?
Why not?
That's right. We're going to do it. We're going to get you to help. Yeah, we're going to do it. It's worldwide, man. You know, just keep breathing in and out longer than bad guys and growing food. Little bitty living space.
LRN.FM.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Jacob, David, and Jacek. You know, here from... I gotta say it right. Sols Novinec. No?
And
you're from where?
From Katowice.
Katowice.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Ah, see,
yeah.
I got one right. Okay, I'm trying. You know, it's there was a I go off on a whole bunch of other stuff. There was a movie that I liked that was done there, but you know, one thing I want to make sure that we get is that I am of the opinion it's a state of mind. You know, that's why the first company I ever incorporated, I did, you know, for, I was like, I don't know, in my early 20s, and I started the company. It was called Shibumi. Shibumi Incorporated, and then all my other stuff kind of went under that. And the reason I used that word, it was a book by Trevanian, this author, and it was just an interesting book, but it was a concept. Shibumi is a Japanese word. It basically means peace of mind. It's a state. It's a way of thinking. It's just hum, and you just take it, and you take baby steps towards whatever, and you go and get, and all of a sudden, big things change, and you're ready up here. Well, that's one thing I want to do. This is a project. What can I do that I think is missing in the Polish effort here, the libertarian thing? What could I be that they don't have? Nothing that I'll just do on our own. We'll be part of. We've done this with, you know, in Arabia, you know, Saudi Arabia. We went to Egypt. We went to Libya. We just sent out, you know, we did the our Arabic translations of stuff that we did. Haria Phoenix, we got up there. We had a big impact. What am I going to do in Poland? What can I do to say, nah, that they're not doing, that I get to say, told you so. Freeing up here and giving them the idea that they can, or at least have the knowledge of, sustaining themselves, even with one itty-bitty little tomato, one chicken. You know, get a fresh egg every day and a half or something. You know, what can you, what are the laws? What if they go after you? Oh, I'm sorry, you had a potted plant in your window, you're not allowed. Heck, you almost pay money to get them to do that. So I am of the opinion that we can have this, you know, as we're doing this newsletter, you know, why wouldn't we pick somewhere else that we would expand this knowledge to? Maybe have a translation, hit the translate button. We know how to do that. We got it. Poland. And and you want to go where it's the worst. Like here in the U.S., where would it be the worst you'd want to do something like this? Oh, maybe Detroit. You know, freedom's going to come from the ashes of something else. You know, I keep saying, they're going, Detroit's done. I go, good. That's where you'll probably see the most freedom coming because they won't have a choice. Same thing's going to happen to places like Poland. When it starts to fall, when Greece goes, when Italy goes, when Spain goes, when Portugal goes, when, you know, the pigs, you know, start to, you know, come home to roost, all right? When this happens, that's where freedom comes from, unless you create a vacuum and they just repeat it all over again. So that's what I want to do. I'm going to be talking to these guys off air after we do this. We're going to do a project for some kind of a food thing, because if you cannot be independent if you're dependent. And you can't be independent if you're dependent on the government for your food. We have almost 50 million people on food stamps in this country. You know what? The biggest part of the budget, sequestration here and there. Not going to have money, whatever, in Department of and kind of in agriculture and whatever. And you go, ooh, how much are we spending? Tens of billions, if not hundreds of billions of dollars on food? And not just in this country, in other countries. It's all the subsidizing we need to keep the peasants down. And how do you do that? By keeping them fed. And when they don't get enough food, what happens? Tahrir Square. You know, here it comes. Arab Spring. It was all about inflation and food. And what happens when you don't have enough food? The young people take to the streets, and they're looking for a solution. So, Yasik, what do you think, man? You know, is this a project that you'll allow me to help you guys with?
It's something very new for us, but it what you said.
I give you the
you
stuff.
You cannot
I
be
go,
independent if you are dependent. Yeah, right. It appeals to us. So
I'm going, here's a little packet of grow your little seed, de la, whatever it is.
The tree of liberty, right?
See, little trees. You know, you got to do a little citrus tree, a little apple, you know, tree, a little something like that, liberty tree. Yeah, United States of America liberty trees. And then a couple other, you know, little things. Maybe you might want a head of lettuce. So I'm telling you, if you guys will, you know, work with me on this, unless we'll get little kits and we'll do it. Do it. Johnny Appleseed goes to Poland, okay? So here we go. You guys hip to that? You ready to do it?
That's very interesting, yeah.
Okay, what do you think?
Yeah, sure, why not? Well, actually, in Poland, for example, my family has own chickens, and I have own fresh eggs and sausage. I have fresh own sausage from our animals. And I know something about it, because my family lives in the village. But
And you don't want to share that with the other people? What kind of
Why
bad
not?
Person are you?
Why
I
not?
Share something. I can tell you a funny story. My mom, she has a sewing company. They make clothes, right? Yeah. And one of her employees, she's having a farm, and she doesn't produce for the official market. Like, everything she produces, she's selling or giving to other people without invoices, without government involved. So, and they have wonderful stuff. And I love the sausage they have. I called it libertarian sausage. Oh. And it's libertarian sausage because there's no bills. There's no inspection of government. There is private doctor who looks after the cows but look, and the pigs. But look, it's so funny. Each year I organize this Liberty English Camp with Glenn Kribe and Language of Liberty Institute. I bring this sausage, and like now hundreds of people know about libertarian sausage, and we put it on Facebook often, and people are excited about libertarian sausage. So I want to say thank you for my mother's employees for delivering this wonderful stuff for us. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, now take a look at this. Here's it's called Wonder Soil, and I know the woman that owns this company, and it is awesome stuff. Donna uses this. It's expanding pot. Imagine like you have all kinds of nutrients and the worm castings, and it's pressed coconut husk and on and on and on and on, but also has water absorbent material in there like disposable diapers. So when you wet it, it stays wet and it only releases it as the roots take up the water. So this is, I'm going to talk to them and see if we can work out some kind of deal, because I know that we can send already ready-made add water, it grows kind of stuff. I mean, how satisfying is it? You put it in the window, and within a week or two, you got green stuff growing. The Liberty trees are growing. They're growing. It's an emotional thing. It's up in their head. And I'm telling you, I know it, you already have an experience, you know, with better product, better food, that friends, and you start sharing that knowledge of how, and that they should even be able to. And I know what governments will do. There's somebody go, whoa, man! You're violating something. Did you get your little potted plant permit? Is there like a potted plant permit? You never know. And if there isn't, there will be.
Yeah.
So this is. I want to help. You guys gonna let me help you with this?
Sure. Why not?
Yes. Why not? Why not? And then you know what? With the little whatever you pass out, you put your track. You put your little campaign stuff. You put. You know, these are the people that gave me a plant. They're gonna love you, man. You know, how are they, were the evil people that gave me a plant? You know, what were they going to say? You're going to say you're bad because you taught them you gave them a plant to grow green? You're a good guy. Eh? All right. You let us help. We'll help. We'll do a little test thing on it. We'll have some fun with it. Because I can see the emotional impact this kind of thing has. Because the future is coming a lot faster than I think you guys realize. And you say, have you been surprised, Yasik, you know, how fast this is starting to take off?
Yeah, I'm really surprised. Like, things are happening every day. Like, and our stay here is amazing. We meet such a
such a great people every day, and every day brings something new, and we are feeling empowered. Truly.
Empowered. I tell you, eating, you know, makes you more empowered. You know, I
both eating.
I got food. You don't have food, you're not empowered. You're going to somebody in a shiny badge, can I please have some food?
Yeah. First you need food, then you think about liberty. You will not think about liberty if you are starving.
Well, how are the grocery stores? Are they pretty well stocked? Do you have a wide variety of things to pick from? Or are you standing in line? What?
We don't stand in line. Now you have a situation where the stores are full of products, but people don't necessarily have money to buy them. But there's a lot of supermarkets, a lot of foreign investments. It's a supermarket culture now.
Well, you know, Jakob, tell me, are most of the young people, are they getting jobs or are they without a job?
Mostly it's very difficult for young people to get a job in Poland.
So where are they living? You got multi-generational families, you got, you know, grandkids and kids and grandparents and great-grandparents in homes?
Yeah, but they very often work after the studies in McDonald's or something like that.
Going to England.
Oh, so they're just, you know, young people are going somewhere
Immigration,
else.
It's a very common...
We'll keep up with this, you know. We'll go ahead and keep you guys informed of how... You know, might as well be Poland. We got some friends there. You know, what else are we going to do? You know, you want one world government? Okay. I give you one world revolution. We'll see you tomorrow.